Morning. I'm going to be talking about energy optimization with regard to honeybee foraging strategies. Well, probably the most famous honeybee behavior is her communication system, her dance system. An often overlooked important foraging aspect is her time memory. Here we show an example of a time training experiment. We have the number of visits at the training station over 4 unrewarded test days after 5 days of training. The white squares represent bees with 1 or 2 days of training, the gray squares bees with 3 days of training, and the black with 4 or 5 days of training. First thing we notice here is that most of the reconnaissance flights start at or very near the training time, the onset of training time, and they cease shortly after the training time. Second is that the more experience a bee has, the more likely she is to reconnoiter the source. And third, the number of visits drops each day. It's very clear that the bees do remember some past experience of when they received rewards at this site. The idea of a time memory in honeybees is not new. It has been described in various ways by various authors for more than a century. Here we show the proportions of the returning trained bees that are still alive on the 4 unrewarded test days. So for example, on test day 1, while 90% of the 5-day trained bees have reconnoitered the source, the remaining 10% are actually still sitting in the hive for the most part. You can see them on the dance floor rejecting dances for other sources, and they will not fly out to their source until they see a confirmation dance for one of the bees in their group. So the bees shown on this graph we call persistent foragers, and the bees holding back in the hive we call reticent foragers. So there are two types of nectar foragers. Both have a memory of a recently profitable food source. Both cluster on the dance floor at the appropriate training time, but only the persistent bees will fly out and reconnoiter the source. So how many bees should be persistent in a foraging group? At one extreme, if you sent out all of your bees, 100% of your foraging group, just to check on the availability of a food source, it could be energetically wasteful. The other extreme, if you sent out a single bee, even though one bee could reactivate the entire foraging group, it might not be prudent. It is a dangerous world out there. So as we saw on previous slides, we see up to 90% of the bees in the foraging groups being persistent, and that is surprisingly high. So to try to figure out why it is so high, we decided to model foraging behavior to evaluate different foraging strategies. We started with Difereason Bees Meyer 98 as our platform, as our baseline. We used NetLogo as our platform, and once the baseline was established, we changed the metric to the net energy gained instead of the number of visits at the feeding station. We improved the honeybee's time sense, giving each 1, 2, or 3 days of prior experience at this source, and each bee was assigned a probability of being either persistent or reticent based on the number of days of experience. Also, bees will show up, new potential foragers will show up on the dance floor randomly throughout the day at rates set equal to the mortality rate, 5 times the mortality rate or 10 times the mortality rate. In this diagram of our model, we've accentuated the differences between experienced and inexperienced foragers, and note that the only way a bee will leave the hive to reconnoiter her source or to visit her source is if she is persistent and is making reconnaissance flight, or if she's persistent or reticent and has observed a confirmation dance, or with very low probability a bee may fly out to the source late in the day after the source is closed. We used our energy equations to serve two purposes. One, it allows a bee to evaluate the quality of her source, and two, it allows us to calculate the energy acquired by the group. The basic 7 equations come from Seeley in 1986, and we use those to write equations 8 and 9 to serve those two purposes. And note, these both take into consideration the concentration of the source and the distance from the hive. Brief comparison with a few other recently published models. Most important in our model, if a bee finds that the source has stopped producing nectar, she will return to the hive and apparently rest. She will not come back to the dance floor until the appropriate time on the following day. In Difereason Bees Meyer, a bee will either try again a little bit or maybe get re-recruited to a new source. In Beekman and Liu, the bee will immediately become re-recruitable. Also very important, our bees retain a memory of prior foraging experience. And of the 3 models here, only Difereason Bees Meyer endow their bees with a memory of their experience. But they only do this when they're examining 2 test days, and their bees will fly out to reconnoiter the source after their training time, not prior to their training time. We tested 4 foraging strategies against a variety of foraging conditions. The strategies were 1%, a straight 1% persistent, which represents the idea that you only need a handful of bees to reactivate the group. A straight 10% persistent, which goes along the same lines but is a little more prudent. A straight 100% persistent, which implies that all the bees are reticent, or I'm sorry, all the bees are persistent and none will hold back in the hive. And finally, the 40-60-80 complement, which is what we see in the field, and that is 40% of bees with 1 day of training will be persistent, 60% with 2 days, and 80% with 3 days will be persistent. We tested these strategies over these various foraging conditions with colonies that knew of the source for 1, 2, or 3 days prior to the simulated test day. So, after the dust has settled and we've run thousands of simulations, we tabulate everything by the foraging conditions. We can see, actually, in every case, the 100%, briefly, you can't read the small print there. These are the ANOVA analyses, the box plots from the ANOVA analyses. The x-axis represents the foraging strategies. This is the 1%, 10%, 100%, and the 40-60-80 complement. The y-axis is the net energy gain by the group in joules per bee per hour. And in every case, the 100% persistent strategy did return the most amount of nectar. However, in some cases, there was no difference, no significant difference, between the 100% strategy and our 40-60-80 complement. So while in these five, the 100% strategy looks optimal, in these three, the 40-60-80 complement doesn't appear to be any less optimal. And if it doesn't lead to a reduction in the energy reward, maybe it is safer to send out fewer bees on reconnaissance flights. And this last example in the corner, mouse won't point, these are kind of extreme conditions, 2 molar at only 100 meters from the hive, and here the 10% persistent strategy was no less optimal than the 100% either. So try to get our mind wrapped around all these examples, all these cases. We color-coded everything, and we see a nice yellow, blue, and orange band based on these optimalities. We sort all of these by the foraging conditions, the distance from the hive, the concentration, and then the number of starting foragers, and we still see a trend. It's quite clear. Under really high-quality foraging conditions, that is high concentration, very close to the hive, the 10% persistent strategy appears to be optimal. And under poor conditions, the 100% strategy appears to be optimal. This is far from the hive and low concentration. But under intermediate conditions, this blue band in the middle, the 40-60-80 complement seems to be optimal, or at least no less optimal than any other strategy. And this trend holds for the 5x and 10x advancement rates as well. So to quickly summarize, honeybees exhibit a very strong time memory. There are two classes of honeybees. We have both persistent and reticent nectar foragers. Under intermediate quality conditions, the 40-60-80 complement strategy appears to be optimal, or at least no less optimal than any other strategy. And it's important to notice that never was the 1% strategy optimal. And it turns out that the reason the proportion of bees is of persistent bees is so high is that the cost of flying to and from the source is nearly negligible compared to the reward of even a single foraging trip. In other words, missing out on just a few minutes of foraging time could lead to a significant loss of energy, or more accurately, leads to missing out on a significant gain of energy. I'd like to thank Jennifer Johnson, Sam Boyd, Andrea Edge, and Jennifer Price for helping us wrap our minds around this and put it all together, and the USDA for financial support. Thanks. Yes?
So if you have a colony that has a variety of resources out there, high and low quality, all different resources from the colony, what is the best overall plan for a colony size?
Well, we still have a lot of testing to do and a lot more to include in the model, but the empirical results that we have come up with so far are done in the field under natural foraging conditions. So we put a training table out there with our nectar source with all the background of blackberry and everything else that's in there. So we see the 40-60-80 strategy appearing right before our eyes with all this other background. Did that answer your question? Oh, yes?
Is there a certain training period or some type of training for the forager bees that are picked to do the initial scouting? Or do you find it? I know that's probably not part of it.
Well, we haven't included scouting yet in the model. Everything that we've been testing are based on experienced bees that know of the source. But I think might partly answer your question. So far, we've only been looking at a flower that is open midday for 4 hours, and we do plan on extending that to various availability lengths and various times of day. The amount of anticipation, how early the bees will show up, is actually directly dependent on what time of day it is. The later the day, the more they will anticipate, and the earlier they'll fly out. So there's still a lot more testing to do.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.